for this reason, says Jesus, for this hour. What he's referring to, of course, is his impending sacrifice, his suffering and death on the cross for sinners like us. It was, to borrow an expression from the Old Testament, for such a time as this that Jesus came. That phrase, for such a time as this, is from the keynote verse of the book of Esther in the Old Testament. Esther 4, verse 14. If you're not acquainted with the story of Esther, read it this week. It might take you a half hour or so. If you've forgotten some of the details of the story, get reacquainted with it. Here's a quick synopsis of the story. Drama, power, romance, intrigue. This is the stuff of which best-selling novels are made. But far from a modern piece of fiction, these words describe a true story lived and written centuries ago. More than entertaining reading, it's a story of the profound interplay of God's sovereignty and human will. The book of Esther begins with Queen Vashti refusing to obey an order from her husband, King Xerxes, the king of Persia. She was subsequently banished from the king's presence, and the search began for a new queen. Eventually, a young Jewish woman named Esther, Hadassah was her name in Hebrew, who had hidden her Jewish identity, was chosen by Xerxes as his new queen. Meanwhile, Esther's older cousin, a man named Mordecai, who had raised Esther after she was orphaned, became a government official in Persia and foiled a plot to assassinate the king. But he incurred the ire and hatred of Haman, who rose to the position of second in command in the Persian Empire. Haman determined to get rid of Mordecai, and he came up with a plan to exterminate the entire Jewish population. It was an ancient final solution that predated Hitler and the Nazis by more than 2,000 years. To accomplish this, Haman deceived the king and convinced him to issue a decree condemning all the Jews in the empire to death. Mordecai told Queen Esther about the edict and urged her to plead with the king to save her people from destruction. To do so, to approach the king without having first been invited, would mean risking her life. In his appeal to Esther, Mordecai said, "If you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance for the Jews will arise from another place. But you and your father's family will perish. And who knows but that you have come to royal position for such time as this." Persuaded by Mordecai, Esther agreed to go to the king, even though it's against the law. "If I perish," she said, "I perish." Esther did go to the king, who held out his gold scepter to show her mercy and permit her to come into his presence uninvited. After inviting the king and Haman to special dinners on consecutive days, Esther made her appeal to the king and fingered Haman as the mastermind behind the plot to annihilate the Jewish people. In a radical reversal of fortune, the king sentenced Haman to die on the 75-foot-high gallows Haman had built to put Mordecai to death. In the final act of this real-life drama, Mordecai replaced Haman as the king's closest advisor, and the Jews were guaranteed protection throughout the empire. To celebrate this historic occasion as a reminder of God's deliverance of his people, the Feast of Purim was established, which Jews continue to celebrate to this day. though Esther did not know it until the crisis arose. God had made her the queen of Persia for such a time as this, in order to serve God's purposes for the protection and deliverance of the Jewish people throughout the Persian Empire. God demonstrated His providential care and sovereign power by using the influence of this young woman to spare the Jewish people from the anti-Semitic animus of Haman. One thing that should be obvious to us from this is that anti-Semitism, hatred of Jewish people, is not a recent development. It wasn't something that the Nazis invented. It's thousands of years old. And it's wrong. Anti-Semitism is always wrong. It always has been and always will be. It's never right. Never was and never will be. The Jewish people have a special place in God's heart. To hold any prejudice against any Jewish person because they're Jewish is antithetical to the teachings of Jesus and the Christian faith. So we must not allow any seed of anti-Semitism to take root in our hearts and grow up to cause trouble. We must not ever grieve the Holy Spirit in this way. You with me? I know you are. Throughout history, God has placed innumerable people in positions of influence for just such a time. Think of Joseph, Moses, Caleb and Joshua, Rahab and Deborah, Samuel and David, Elijah and the prophets. Think of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Think of Peter, Paul. Think of reformers like Luther and Calvin. Think of missionaries like William Carey, Adoniram and Ann Judson, Hudson Taylor, all of whom did hard things for the sake of the gospel. In our country's history, think of the founders used by God to establish our union. The leadership of men like Washington, Adams, Jefferson, Franklin. Think of Abraham Lincoln, thrust into leadership when our nation endured a horrible civil war. Think of Rosa Parks, Martin Luther King Jr. Think of unsung heroes who've stood in the gap at critical moments in the history of our nation and the world. Think of doctors and nurses and healthcare workers putting their lives on the line in this current crisis in order to save others, as well as people in other professions with other vocations working long hours, putting themselves at risk to ensure that we all have what we need in order to make it through this crisis for such a time as this. And then there's Jesus. In language similar to that of Esther 4:14, Jesus said He came into the world for such a time as this. Why did Jesus come into the world? Why did He come to live among us? Why did He become flesh and blood and move into our neighborhood? He came, He said, to seek and save the lost. Like Zacchaeus, you remember him. A man short in stature, both physically and morally. A friendless tax collector who'd gotten rich by cheating people, but who, by God's grace, became a follower of Jesus and amended his ways. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. when his disciples argued among themselves about which of them deserved to be most highly honored in Jesus' coming kingdom, he said that he did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. In his first epistle, 1 John 3, verse 8, the Apostle John says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." The Son of God entered the scene, it says in the message, to abolish the devil's ways. Now, we don't yet see the devil's ways abolished, do we? Doesn't appear that the devil's work has been destroyed yet. But we believe that the devil's defeat and destruction are assured. They are a certainty. Why? Because in his suffering, death, burial, and resurrection, Jesus dealt a death blow to Satan and all the forces of evil in this world. The events that took place in Holy Week were the D-Day battle to overshadow all others. Remember that even before Jesus was born, an angel told Joseph in a dream that Mary was going to give birth to a son who was to be given the name Jesus, which means the Lord saves. Why? Because the angel said, he will save his people from their sins. Why did Jesus come? To save his people from their sins. To save us from our sins. To seek and to save the lost, including us. To give his life as a ransom for many. To deal a death blow to Satan. That's why Jesus came. That was his mission. And you know, the only way Jesus could fulfill his mission was by going to the cross. If there had been another way to save us, don't you think God would have spared his son the unspeakable horror of what Jesus went through for us? But in his great love for us, God did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. Jesus knew what lay ahead of him. He knew what he had to do. He knew what was coming. And he willingly accepted his mission. There's a fascinating verse in Luke's gospel that sheds light on this. Luke 9, verse 51 says, "As the time approached for him to be taken up to heaven," in other words, as the time approached for Jesus to die, Jesus resolutely set out for Jerusalem. He didn't run the other way. He didn't try to hide. He didn't cower from his destiny. He didn't try to get out of it. He set his face resolutely, with total determination, to go to Jerusalem, knowing what was going to happen to him there. So when Jesus arrived in Jerusalem to the accolades of the crowd on Palm Sunday, he wasn't blind to what lay ahead. He wasn't in denial. He knew the hour had come. This was the very reason for which he had come into the world. Even though it meant unimaginable pain and suffering, and being completely abandoned, forsaken by the Father as he bore the full weight of our sins upon himself, Jesus was determined to go through with it, which he did. Just a few days later, on Good Friday, when he was nailed to a cross and gave his life as an atoning sacrifice for your sins and mine. It was for this reason that Jesus came into the world. It was for this reason that he came to this particular hour, this defining moment in his life that is the defining moment of all of history. He came for just such a time, for just such a moment as this. And because he did, we worship him. Because he did, we praise him. Because he did, we shout Hosanna and we sing Hallelujah. Because he did, we believe in him. Because he did, we love him. Because he did, we follow him. Because he did, we serve him. I mentioned D-Day a few moments ago. Here's a story from that day in World War II. You know, most, if not all, kingdoms or nations will do all they can to protect their monarch, or in our case, president. If you know anything about chess, you know that protecting the king is the premise of the game. When the king falls, the game is lost. So in chess, the king must be protected at all costs. When the Allied invasion of Normandy took place on June 6, 1944, British Prime Minister Winston Churchill desperately wanted to join the expeditionary forces and watch the invasion from the bridge of a battleship in the English Channel. American General Dwight Eisenhower, fearing the Prime Minister might be endangered, was desperate to stop him. And when Churchill would not be dissuaded, Eisenhower appealed to a higher authority, King George VI. The king told Churchill that if it was the Prime Minister's duty to witness the invasion, then it must be his own duty as king to join him on the battleship. At this point, Churchill finally, reluctantly agreed to back down because he knew he could never expose the King of England to such a danger. Our King, Jesus, though, did exactly the opposite. As Philip Ryken says, with royal courage, Jesus surrendered his body to be crucified. On the cross, he offered a king's ransom, his life, for the life of his people. He would die for all the wrong things we had ever done and would do, completely atoning for all our sins. The crown of thorns that was meant to make a mockery of his royal claims actually proclaimed his kingly dignity, even in death. For such a time, for such an hour, for this reason, for you and me. Take time this week while you're engaged in social distancing to think about what Jesus endured for you. Take time to thank him. Take time to get closer to him. Take time today, right now, to come to him in faith if you've never trusted him to be your Savior. Take time today, right now, to come back to him, to come to him again if you've drifted away or in some way turned away from him. If you're dabbling in sin of some kind, now's the time to stop. The hour to get right with God is now. He is near to all who call upon him with a sincere heart and faith. And one last thing. You and I, all of us, are here in this world for such a time as this. God has put us all right here, right now, at this time and place in history for such a time as this, to serve God's purposes in this generation, in this moment, in this crisis. So ask God to show you His purpose for you in these days. Ask God to show you opportunities to bless others in Jesus' name. Ask Him for opportunities to love and talk to unbelieving neighbors or friends or family members about Jesus, all the while keeping appropriate social distance. Ask Him to show us as a church how we can better love and care for one another and for our neighbors in this time. And then step out in action. In the name of Jesus and for His glory. Lord, let it be so in us. Amen.